You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
What's up, and welcome back to another episode of No Ceilings Podcast with your host, Nah Fuck That, with your low, Glasses Malone.
Pete Dawg.
My man, what's happening?
Mixing songs, you know, booked that big studio where they got those $15,000 monitors, like speakers.
Ooh,
you know, so you can get the truest mix on your records. You just got to focus the whole time on mixing records. Like, it's just crazy. And fuck Glasses. Like, I realized because my career is in this weird place, like, it's right at the end of the West Coast greatness and at the beginning of what became the future in music, like streaming apps, you know, Spotify, Tidal, Apple. A lot of the projects I put out, they didn't, weren't on streaming services. You know, it's more of the Dat Piff era. It's more of the Dat Piff era. So now that I have to put the music, on streaming sites, I get a chance to go in and really correct it. You know what I mean? And like, I have far, like, my knowledge of making records at this point is far too vast, you know what I mean, for me not to make adjustments to music when I hear it, you know, mistakes or different things when I hear it. Like, it's hard for me to not make the changes.
100%.
So, you know, re-recording songs, you know, refreshing songs, remixing songs, just doing as much as I can to make sure when people listen to Fuck Glasses Malone, even though it's going to say it came out in 2008, it has 2024 knowledge from Glasses Malone. So it's just been a journey the last few days. And to say the least, man, this shit is just dope.
That's what's up. Sounds like a lot of work. More than a lot of work.
It is. But it's a lot of joy. It's a lot of joy in it. And the actual adventure itself is probably the most fun part, creating the idea. You know, it's everything, dog. So something was on my mind, right? I like to call hip hop the cool table.
Okay.
You know, if the world is a cafeteria, then hip hop is the cool table in the cafeteria. Might have been 30 tables inside the cafeteria, but then there was these two or three tables that were the coolest tables in the cafeteria.
Sure.
I like to think of hip hop as the cool table in the cafeteria, right?
Gotcha.
And hip hop has been at that table and running that table since the 90s. Since hip hop's inception as, you know, being a part of the music business in the late 70s, early 80s, it has clearly made its way through all the other tables, past the goth kids, the rock kids, past all these kids, and became the cool table in America. And the reality is, when they first started off in the 80s, nobody wanted a piece of it. In the 90s, nobody wanted a piece of it. Everybody was so scared to go and mess with the poor kids at the cool table, right? Fast forward, we get to 2000. Everybody wants to do some kind of business and have an affiliation with the cool table, right? Now you have all of the brands, different people coming like, hey, we want you to make us cool too, or our product cool, right?
Sure.
Before that, you had to really work your way to even be a part. You couldn't even just buy your way to the table. It was really expensive to buy your way into the cool table that's hip hop. You know what I mean? Like, you had to spend some money. It was like, this is the cool table. Everybody can't sit at this table. You know what I mean? It wasn't like you couldn't just be at the table. They were hella on who sat at that fucking table. They was like the plastics in Mean Girls, bro. You could not sit at this fucking table. And they will kick your ass away from the table. They'd be like, get your ass, kick your ass out of, like, you can't sit here anymore. You know what I'm saying? And what's been on my mind for the last couple weeks is how cheap sitting at the cool table has become. Do you remember the cool kids when you was in school?
Yeah, I do.
What kind of dudes were they? Or girls?
They were a lot like me.
I'm sure you was at the cool table to some degree.
Yeah, I was one of the few people at the school who, like, really could just... I had a piece of every damn table there. But,
what is the cool table like in OC? See, like where we from, right? Like, in Watts County, my whole life, right? It's like, the cool table is usually the kids from the poorest place that got a couple cool things on, right? They got a couple pair of Jordans, you know what I mean? Mm. They was the cool kids. They was the screw-ups. They probably didn't get the greatest grades, you know, but they wasn't stupid. Yet they were figuring out some way to make some money and do some things with their life, you know what I mean? But they came from the poor area. Like, and it's funny because the richest kids was never the cool kids. Like, at the schools I went to, the richest kids was never the coolest kids, unless you got your money out the street. Like, it was a lot more respect for culture, you know what I mean? And everybody respected the struggle, you know what I mean? What was the cool table like in the OC?
I would say it mostly was just kind of like what you were as a personality type. So you might have had some of the football players, but it wasn't like the guys who were like hardcore, like into football like that, or surfer types. But it wasn't the guys who, like, that's all that they like eat, sleep, and shit the shit. It was just people who had like social skills enough to where people liked them or gravitated toward them to the extent that then they had the ability to kind of pick and choose with whom they associated and dealt with because they had a surplus of personal interest.
It was crazy is I didn't even sit at the cool tables when I was in high school. Like we made the cool tables. Like we made an area when I started high school at Paramount, I was in the 10th grade. And
where'd you go in the 9th grade?
You said who?
Where were you in the 9th grade?
I went to Artesia. Artesia High School.
Oh, you went to Artesia?
And I got great grades, but got kicked out because I was late 73 days. They pulled my permit, my ABC school district permit.
Gotcha. My boy's sister went to Artesia. I think she was in your grade.
Yeah. I had just missed Charles O'Bannon and all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But long story short, no, I caught Charles O'Bannon, but they was leaving when I was, or they had just left. Either way. But I went to Paramount. And the cool table, ironically, do you watch football at all? First off, hold up. No ceilings. Glasses low. In the motherfucking house. Going to work. My nigga Pete in the spotlight, usual. We finna get into some thoughts and shit. Y'all know how we do this thing.
Were you there with Capone? Remember the white dude who played basketball with UCLA? Jason
Capone. Yep.
Gotcha.
I remember Jason Capone. Avondre Jones. There were some dope players there. But I don't remember because I only went there 1 year and I was late so many times. It was crazy. I really remember Palms Park. You know what I mean? And it was a dude that used to live across the street from Palms Park. His name is Eric. He was the coolest dude, man. He used to help me with my hoop game so much. And they used to have a carom board over there. I used to love Artesia High School. I wanted to go there, but my mom, you know, this was right before she went to prison. So, like, there's no way, you know what I mean, I was going to make it there on time. We didn't, you know, we lived in Compton still. So, that just wasn't going to happen. But you watch football at all?
Yeah.
So, the cool table at Paramount High School, one of the main people that ran the cool tables, the cool tables that was already in existence, is the coach of the fucking LA, is the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders now. The homie AP.
Oh, that guy went to Paramount?
Yes, Antonio Pierce. And AP was a fuck up. Like, AP used to get in trouble, suspended. They used to run with a clique. They had these two cliques, Nasty Ass Rascals and 304s. And them cliques used to fight all the fucking time. You know what I'm saying? And so they had this area under the new building, and that would have been the cool tables, right? But while we fucked with people, like I fucked with a couple people over there, man, I'm fresh. I didn't got courted on. I'm already starting to hustle. So I'm not even finna go hang with the jocks or none of that. Like, so me and my god brothers, they were freshmen, Steven and Stephen. Stephen passed away, but Steven is still breathing. They're twins. Shout out to my family. But we were going there and we took this table from where the tables were close to the senior square. And we sat them next to the, it was a snack shack. We set them on the side of the snack shack, right by the gym. Like, and that became where we start sitting in the 10th grade, right? We had like one or two tables and we just be posted up. That was our spot because it was me, my god brothers, and a couple homies that was going there. So we would just be over there doing our thing. By the time I graduated, you know, it was so many motherfucking tables over there. It might have been like 8 tables in our little section. And that area became just as cool as the new building area.
Sure.
And I've never like just ran and did what the cool people did. Like I've always thought I was fine no matter what. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know if I would, cool is the word, but I always thought that I was a special person. So I never fell into shit that I didn't want to do just to be accepted. So, like, we made our section cool, right? Now, the new building still was the cool area, but our section was just as booming. And by the time we graduated, it was so many people that would sit with us. Like, we 20, 30 people sitting with us. You know what I mean? We just doing our thing. I say all that to say, When I'm looking at hip hop right now, the cool table, I'm looking at different people trying to make their way into the cool table.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Do you ever watch DJ Vlad?
Yeah, sometimes.
So Vlad is one of those kind of people, right? Where Vlad take a lot of shit, bro. Like, Vlad take a lot of shit. Like, people say he's a culture vulture. They say his show gets people, you know, implicated in crimes and all kind of shit. But you only can go up there and say some shit to get yourself in trouble if that was the case. Because you don't actually have to say shit to get yourself in trouble. But to Vlad's credit, and this is something that I don't know how many people know about Vlad, but Vlad has been, like, as far as covering it, probably before I start putting out music. I was doing Vlad TVs back in 2004 and 5. You know what I mean? Like, and at that time, like how Vlad's show is now, Vlad is like somewhere else. You know what I mean? Doing the interview remote, and he just does a good voiceover, so it sounds like he's in the room, but he's not in the same room as a lot of the guests. But at that time, Vlad would, like, I used to have Vlad come into Watts, bro. Like, he would come to the 7 and post up and just be getting his footage, talking to the G homies. So I always gave Vlad credit as somebody where he really was going to put himself on the line to go be a part and get, you know, information about the culture, whatever it was. And I always gave him that credit. Back then, Vlad used to do mixtapes. A lot of people don't know this. You know what I mean? They just think he started some interview platform and blah, blah, blah. But this dude was really smart as a DJ. He was sharp. He could pick a good song, a good record. So he's not totally void of knowledge when it comes to hip hop. You know what I mean? He's not some foofer, dog. Like, Vlad is very much in the know when it comes to this music shit, like when it comes to hip hop music. But fast forward, it's like that his goal was always to be a part of the culture. Now, because rest assured, like, the culture made DJ Vlad, Vlad TV. No question. The culture made DJ Vlad, Vlad TV. Like, the culture, street urban culture made Vlad TV. Does he not have a right to sit at the cool table at that point if people want to use his platform? Does that make sense? You know what I mean? When you have that conversation, does that not make sense? Does he not, did he not earn his seat at the table?
Sure. I mean, it's a revolving door typically, usually anyway. I mean, his career exists because of the genre, and he gained value from the genre for his own platform. But by and large, at this point in time, other individuals gain value by participating on his platform. So it's reciprocal.
I agree. When you hear the term culture vulture, what kind of person do you think of? Because I'll be honest, right? I know people say that about Vlad all the time, and I don't agree with Vlad. Vlad says some really unsavory shit about Louis Farrakhan, and I'm not really cool with that. You know, it's one of those things to where it's like, you know, I understand why people are upset, but I never looked at Cuz like a culture vulture.
Yeah.
Like, he always had a genuine interest in the culture. Vlad had a fucking black woman back then, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying because you get some black pussy that make you a part of said culture, but he was hella vested in it. You know what I mean? He wasn't just some motherfucking, but don't get me wrong, I don't think he was living the culture. You know what I mean? He's not living the street life, but he made it his job to cover it. And back then, to put himself in danger, you know, to go see exactly what's going down. He's doing these interviews currently with different people, and he's talking about the BMF dudes. And it's funny because I hear Cuz talking, he'd be like, yeah, you know, well, I did the he was talking about how he hung with BMF for like 2 or 3 days. He was like, yeah, man, they're blowing money and they're in clubs, and, you know, I know they're not selling any records, so I had to separate myself. And I was thinking to myself, like, Vlad, nobody, no federal law enforcement would think you are selling drugs and a part of BMF. I don't know if it was really that important for you to separate yourself into that degree outside of just
an
upcoming artist.
He might have meant it in the sense that he didn't want to get into some shit that was not the law.
I don't think Vlad would have got into any shit. Like, Vlad is somebody who everybody...
I just mean you could wrong place, wrong time it. You know what I mean?
Say that again?
I just mean in the sense that he might have just meant it like you can wrong place, wrong time it. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if it's even could be wrong place or wrong time. He was just talking about he was at the club with him or at the house. Either way, no matter what happened, I don't think The feds would have thought Vlad had shit to do with nothing. But it was funny. No,
I don't mean the feds. I mean, you're running amok through the nightclub scene with those guys, city to city. Anything could happen. You got to walk back to the car. I guess from
outside the beginning, that's the perspective. But no, that's not how it worked. You know what I mean? It don't work that way. That was a case Jeezy be in prison. You know what I'm saying? It don't work that way.
Yeah.
But I say that to say, like, what do you feel a culture vulture is? What's a culture vulture by definition for you?
That's a pretty opaque term. I think a lot of the time it's pretty much just an insult to somebody that is, I mean, you could say that about anybody, I guess, whose crowd doesn't match their own race if you don't like them, you know? I mean, people don't say that about Eminem, but I'm sure if somebody wanted to talk shit about Eminem, you could say the same thing about Eminem. People would resent it. People would say that's bullshit for whatever reason, but it depends. It's one of those terms.
I've never heard Eminem was a culture vulture.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you wanted to do a diss track on him, you know, you could run that. You know, people don't do it, but, you know, it depends on how you want to define it, you know. So
what do you feel? Do you feel that's an applicable term? Is there really a definition for that term?
Not really. I mean, like, there is, it's such a slippery slope term that it sort of nullifies itself. Like, the best example would be, like, say, and this is illustrative, not literal, but like that girl Miley Cyrus, right?
Sure.
If her career wasn't getting off the ground, and then she, like, didn't she do a song with 3-6 or something like that? She did a song with some rap artists. She changed
She did a whole album produced by Mike Will.
Okay, yeah. If that, like, saved her fledgling career and was done deliberately for that purpose, then you could say that, yeah, she was already a big deal at the time, so it's not really, you know, it's not like changed her life. Her life was already pretty good.
Sure.
But I don't know.
See, when I think of culture vulture, I think of people like, let's say, a Post Malone. And it's because it's when people kind of, they shoe shine ideas. Like, the first time Post Malone, you know, or the first time I heard of Post Malone, I mean, he probably had a following before, I just don't know, was he had a song called White Iverson. And he had braids to the back. He was wearing an Iverson jersey. He's doing donuts out in the middle of nowhere in a Phantom. You know, he's carrying himself like he's of said culture. Now, don't get me wrong. I think there's plenty of white people who love Allen Iverson. I'm sure, because AI is such a fucking iconic anomaly as an athlete and as a hooper. Like, it's just out of this world. Even as a fashion icon and what he represented to the NBA for years to come, right?
Yeah.
It's another thing when you call yourself the white version of him. You know what I mean? And then you braid your hair to the back and you put on some locs, some dark shades. And then, like, later on, he comes out and he's like, yeah, I'm not really a rapper. Or it was something loosely around, he's not really down with the culture to that degree.
Was it? Oh, when he said White Iverson, I thought it was a reference to the fact that, did he undergrad at Georgetown?
Definitely didn't undergrad at Georgetown. Definitely didn't.
Okay, I was wrong. Oh, I don't know his lifestyle. I don't know where he's from or his upbringing. I don't know nothing about the guy. I just know his music. When the song ends, I don't know shit about him. So, like, was he a guy from God knows where and just decided, you know something, I'm just going to throw this shit together and see how it goes?
Yes. And it hit for him. Right?
Really?
Like, the culture blew him up. They was like, look at this motherfucking white man.
They found the grungiest, stingiest looking dude they could find.
Man, low key, right? My boy, Craig, he's such a talent.
Man, I was like, look at this guy going, man, was he like, he looks like like the dirty ass kid from a group home or something like that.
He be looking like he be dazzled, he be on drugs. But look, that's the my boy is a nut. But see, and then but later on he comes out and he's like, yo, yeah, I'm not down with the culture. Not those words specifically, but things to say that equip the equivalent to I'm not down with the culture. Not he's not down with putting on, you know, he'll do songs with other rappers, you know, so people can't take the credit. He puts on, you know, he's done songs with Roddy Ricch, different people from the Migos, 21 Savage, all the urban acts, you know what I mean? But somewhere along the line, he disassociated himself with the culture. And that to me is a culture vulture, right? When you play off people's, especially the culture's desire to have representation. Right. Because everybody knows the culture wants representation in all shades. You know, we love it in all shades. We want to be represented to see that people are down with the struggle. Right. And then so when you wake up, you're like, yeah, I'm not fucking with that. I just did that for that. You know what I mean, to me, that's being a culture.
Gotcha. So he's the he's, you know, like the literal version. When I look at somebody like example of that girl.
Yeah. Yeah. When I look at somebody like Jack Harlow, like, I don't get that. Like, right? I don't get, don't get me wrong, he raps, but I don't get a white dude trying to be black. Like, that hair, he could do some other shit with that hair if that was the case. I get a white dude who has probably been sitting at the cool table or he had cool friends. You know what I mean? I don't get that same thing from him. I don't even get it from Eminem. You know what I mean? Like, I always respected that they... I don't know if it was him or the record label, but they made his hair blonde. They made him a white person. Don't get me wrong. He might have had, you know, some trendy gear, you know, but niggas wasn't looking at Eminem for fashion tips. So I think I enjoyed the fact that they made him a white man and let him talk about problems that the culture thinks white people have, right? He's upset with his mother on drugs, or she mistreated him, or his baby mom. That was a real connecting point for certain black people, him wanting to raise his daughter, you know? And I think, you know, you was able to see that white people had problems, like they were poor. Like, we love to see poor white people because it makes us realize we're not alone. But it's like, you know, we see Eminem, he got problems like us, right? So that was dope. But somebody like Post Malone is different, right? Where he used the culture to position himself, you know what I mean? And then now he's able to walk freely about the cabin. And I think that's what we regret the most when we do let people sit at the cool table. Like a Machine Gun Kelly. Shout out to Kelly, right? He's a really dope dude, but soon as you get in the door, you go back to being a white person. Now, you were always white, you know, even when you came in, but you tend to look like you was catering to the culture itself. Like, hey, I'm a representation of this too. Like, he has this really dope song, East Side Till I Die, about East Cleveland, and it's nothing but brothers in a video. But now you look in this video and it's not, you know, it's completely different. He's completely different. And
yeah, his act is totally different. He's like more like a rock artist now, shouldn't he?
Yeah, and it's like the culture is tired of validating people and to be left out in the cold once you get validated. Credit to Eminem. Eminem stayed down. You don't see Eminem out there trying to do rock albums. He ain't making no country albums. That dude is still a hip-hop artist. But I think when I think of culture vultures, I think of that type of situation, specifically with Post Malone, where it's like, damn, you used us to get on. Like, you used the cool table to get in good with the principal. But really, you went into the principal's office and started talking about the type of shit we was doing and saying you wasn't down. Yeah. It brings me to my next thought, Adam 22. Adam 22, I know you said you didn't know who he was, but he's the owner of a platform, a digital platform called No Jumper. Now, No Jumper is a platform that Adam 22 was, if I understand correct, he was like a bicyclist, like a BMX GT style bicyclist. And most people don't know this, but bicyclists in Los Angeles and skaters have a deep urban tradition of street urban shit. It's not the same as like where I'm from in Compton and Watts, but you remember, you old enough to remember Pete, how the skaters used to be. They were like kind of like outlaws, little thuggish kind of guy. They were really rebellious. They would ride their skateboards where they didn't have permission at. They would bust your ass upside the head. They would steal shit out the 7-Eleven. They were the punk rock kids, right? Punk rock and hip hop are stepbrothers, right? It's the same father, right? The oppression and poverty that creates culture, different mothers, different places, you know, in the community, different earths. You know what I mean? You put that in different earths and it sprouts out different ways. So Adam 22 was a bicyclist, if I remember correctly, and he started a platform, right, which is No Jumper. And he started talking to different people of cultural backgrounds, mainly artists, right, and different other professionals in different fields. And when this platform first launched, it was interesting. You know what I mean? He had a certain conversational skill. You know what I mean? He could conversate really well. He would think, you know what I mean? He wasn't scared to ask hard questions. He was sharp. Well, No Jumper has evolved. And I don't know if it's evolved or devolved into either a really type of, you know, it's putting culture under a different microphone, or I don't know if it's devolved into a much more primitive place where it's like all of the conversations. So let me rewind back. Hip hop itself is street urban culture personified through the arts, aka the elements, right? Initially, the elements were emceeing, right? DJing, graffiti, and breaking, b-boy.
I was saying probably breakdancing, yeah.
Right? They added knowledge and a couple other things along the way, but it was street urban culture personified through these things. Because emceeing existed long before hip hop, DJing existed long before hip hop, dancing existed before hip hop, even breaking existed before hip hop, and graffiti existed before hip hop. But when you put the street urban culture, the ghetto's take on art in it, that's what made it hip hop, right? So Adam 22 obviously would showcase artistic, you know, people, the artists that express street urban culture. That's how, you know, I remember his platform initially. Fast forward, we're in 2024. At this point, bro, he's just showing street urban culture. They are not artists. They're not personifying it through art or brilliance or excellence. It's just a culture. Like, instead of getting, at one time, you would have had to go get, you know, if you wanted a representation of the West Side, South Central experience, you would have had to talk to Corrupt, right? You'd have had to talk to Dub C. You had to talk to Ice Cube.
So he's not finding rappers no more. He's just finding any old gangster.
Now he's just finding Crips.
Gotcha. Okay.
Just Crips. You know what
only
I mean?
Crips. And,
or Bloods or Pyrus.
Okay. All right.
And I liken hip hop to soul food, right? It's you can cook anything in a soul way, right? Like, soul food, right, started off like slave food, right? The worst of the vegetables, the greens, right? That was the worst. You had to fucking boil them bitches forever to just get them tender, right? You take the tail of the cow, right? And the oxtail, right? That's the tail of the cow, right? Pig, any part, because pigs are cheap, right? Any part. Cook them a certain way because you wanted them to be flavorful. So you would really over season them, because that made them digestible and delicious to the palate. So I liken to think hip hop as soul food. You know, it's, you cook a certain thing and the way you cook it. Soul food is always being expanded, right? Like you ever seen Black people tacos? We call them nigga tacos. That's soul food.
Yeah.
Right? We fry the shells, the ground meat. That's soul food, you know, invented over the last 40 years. A spaghetti, you know, ghetto spaghetti where you actually cook the damn noodles in the sauce. Yeah, that's soul food, right? So soul food always was a twist on cuisine. You know what I mean? It wasn't about the actual particular food item as much as it was about how we cooked the food item, right? So it was a again, back to the point of soul food being this over-seasoned thing to make really bad food digestible, like horrible, you know, vegetables digestible, you know, at that degree. Adam 22 at this point is just selling the seasoning, like a tablespoon of salt. So hip hop in its earliest, you know, in its infancy, and even coming into the 2000s, when you would digest hip hop, you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. If you keep eating this shit for 60, 70 years, you might have a fucking heart attack or some diabetes or shit. You know what I mean? Because it is over seasoned, right?
Sure.
But at least it carried you along the way, right? It connected you to your people. It connected you to the struggle, right? And it still had nourishing elements. It still was a nourishing meal. It might have, you didn't get, you know, the greatest years, all the 100 years of life, because, you know, you didn't get the best stuff, but it still had nourishment. Adam and No Jumper, they're selling a tablespoon of fucking salt. There is sure. no nourishment. You don't listen and get information that is substantial to your life like you would out of hip hop, where you could get some stuff to get you through hard days, not only just, you know, tough times or attitude, but things that really made you feel like you wasn't alone in the world. At this point, Cuz is selling straight fucking seasoning. Like, he's like a tablespoon of Old Bay. So there is no nourishment with it, right? But I say all that to say, you know, because he understands what he's selling, and I can respect his business mind. But at this point, Cuz is causing so much drama. Like, my little cousin in Georgia was like, oh, why you don't want to talk about it? Like, she sent me a message, and I'm like, I don't know if I agree with the thought that Adam 22 is a culture vulture, bro. Like, I don't agree with what he's doing as far as how he's being irresponsible with this type of information that has cost hundreds to thousands of men their lives, Cuz. But I also don't know if he's wrong for having a platform if you want to go on there and express what's on your mind. I'm not quite sure if he's a culture vulture because he's providing a platform that people want to talk, you know, on. Because I've been on Adam 22's podcast early in 2019. I did another No Jumper. I did three or four different No Jumper things, and I've never said anything that created a problem in Los Angeles, because obviously I'm being responsible with what I say. And if I wanted to make a problem, I would call the specific artist or whichever community I have an issue with and make a real problem right there, not to go on a public platform and try to shame anybody. So I don't know how I feel. Is he a culture vulture, or is people, you know, the same poverty and oppression that makes people want to share their story so they can feel like they matter? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know which way am I going, left or right.
I don't think he's a culture vulture. I just think he's at the, he just happens to have decided, I'm going to open up shop at the intersection of opportunism. He figured out, well, we get the most virality through, because this is like, I'm pretty damn sure the way it went down was as follows. Okay, I got an hour long interview with artists A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Of all the 5 minute clips we put out, the ones that surged the most were the ones where they were talking about drama. And there's an appetite for drama with that fan base. Well, let's just skip the artists and go straight to the drama. I wonder if any of those guys want to talk. And they get the fucking line. Of course, I've never been famous before. I got all this local value, but I don't have any brand value. Let me jump right on in. This will be fantastic. You know, and it's just, I don't think necessarily that.
Shit. And people are saying he's playing puppet master. Like, they're like, Glasses, he playing puppet master. And I'm like, is he really? Like, could he really pull the strings of these people? I don't believe that.
I don't think so. I mean, if anything,
I don't believe that. I don't think he can get these motherfuckers to do nothing.
He's holding a carrot in front of a mule at most.
Well, I think the same desire, cuz, to matter, right? Fame drives everything on every level.
Sure.
So
fame is for, it's just nothing. It's like free money without the paper, you know?
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
I just don't know exactly. Again, like, when I don't agree with what's happening, I just don't participate. Like, I don't agree with the direction when it comes to handling Los Angeles street urban culture with care, so I just won't take part in it. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, and if I seen them, I would speak to them, be like, hey, man, you shouldn't do it like that. I don't like how you handling this street shit, bro. I don't like how you handling this. You know what I mean? I would tell him that. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to demand he stop it because he's not twisting none of these niggas' arms to go over there and be a part of it. You know what I mean? Like, some people saying, you know, he's giving people opportunity. It has value for him. You know what I mean? If giving opportunity has value for you, I don't even know if that's really even giving opportunity, but I also can't say that you're just using people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, he's not kind of
could be
given
an opportunity. So I just was thinking about it. And of course, Adam and Vlad want to sit at the fucking cool table. There's no way in no fucking world they were sitting at no cool table before now. If they would have came to the cool table years ago, man, before any of this shit, bro, they have a fucking problem. But now they have something of value to the table itself, to the people that sit at the table. Because at the end of the day, the people sitting at the table, they don't even want to be poor or forced to have to do the stuff that make them cool in the first place. Like, we all forced to do the shit. Niggas don't want to have to sell dope. Niggas be selling dope. It's the best trade going on in the community at that time. You know what I mean? That people that we know are involved in.
Yeah, I mean, they gentrified the table. They showed up with some money, and some people decided, you know what, if you're going to give me the money, I'll sell the house.
Touche. And they are selling the houses. And now they own a block, and I listen to them talk, and they act like, yeah, you know, we, you know, they feel like they are. And the crazy part is they really feel like they are friends with these people. And I'm laughing like, oh, y'all that's don't really funny. Know that's not how this works.
Well, see, I've seen this guy. I've seen his face circle around social media enough times. I think he's from Nickerson, kind of an older dude. Got some tattoos on his face. You know what I'm talking about? You from Bounty Hunters, right? No?
You talking about BJ? Nino Cappuccino?
I don't think that's his name.
Older? Is he older?
Older. Older, yeah.
Bald head?
Nah, he got hair. Kind of smaller. Smaller, darker skin guy? Got like a couple tattoos.
I don't know.
I was using him as an example because I'm like, that guy, I don't know him for having done anything but spoken on people's, you know, video streaming platforms about hood shit. Been doing it for a long ass time. He didn't parlay it into a record or nothing like that. So if they you know, bumped shoulders at some point in time, and he figured out who that guy was, got his information, that guy. He didn't pause for 2 seconds when whoever the first person was that asked him to come do an interview. You know, if he did pause for 2 seconds, it was 2 seconds, and then he did the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
well, this is the thing, right? Like, the thing about the hood, you know, the cool table is there's two things that fuel it, right? Being a man and being the man, right? The easiest way to feel like a man and the man is a woman choosing you worthy of giving you her body. Now, obviously, sure. In 2024, we probably shouldn't think that, but most men still can't help it. You feel like if you are her 39th choice of penis she is taking, you somehow feel like you are special.
But I was better than that other guy today.
Right, you feel like you're special, right? So accountability and problem solving are the other ways, right? Accountability and problem solving. It's why when people go to prison and they come home after doing 10 years and they are alive and they are themselves and they went and did their time, you know, people from the community is proud that they went to prison versus understanding that they were saying the real conversation is, I was accountable for my actions and I went and paid for what I did the correct way without making sure anybody else got in trouble because of what happened with me. Right. So there's a pride in that sense of accountability. Right. He's like, man, I walked off. That's what they say. I walked off 10 years. You know, I went and did my time. I didn't, you know, tell on somebody else to not, you know, be accountable. But when they don't use that term, people mistake it and automatically start thinking that, oh, well, they're proud because they went to jail. No, they're proud because they accepted their responsibility. They was accountable for whatever they did and the time that they would have to serve, whether or not they still saying they innocent or guilty. You know what I'm saying? They went and accepted the accountability of what needed to happen and went and did it like a man. That's what they're proud of, right? And problem solving, which is why people go out to ball, right? People want to make money because they want to solve people's problems. But the two fastest way to feel like a man is pussy and money.
Of course.
The man is rooted in three different things: pussy, money, and respect, right? So you have two different type of people in the ghetto when it comes to becoming a man, right? You have the guys that want to go out and hustle and make money, right? That's their goal of literally, you know, becoming a problem solver. I'm going to solve my mother's problem of poverty, right? I'm going to go make this money, and I'm going to make some money, and I'm going to be able to help people and help my people and help myself and feed myself. My mama not going to be, you know, she's not going to be on Section 8, right? And then you have the other one, right, which is the warriors who go out the street and be like, when you say my name, you're going to have to respect me as a man because I've went and faced all adversities. I was accountable for everything that happened in this community, and I went and faced everything head on and did whatever it took for our survival. Now, some people may think I make it sound noble, but it's not. It's really the issues of being poor, right? It's a very primitive mindset when resources are scarce and fought over. It goes into a real primitive mindset, like a fucking Komodo dragon eating a fucking baby goat. You know, it gets primitive. What we hope is the sophistication of being humans kick in, but without resources, without, you know, without things that you need, right? Without things that you need, the simple survival things that you need, right? You go into a very primitive space. And it really will turn into those two things, that warrior mindset or I'm going to get money. And then you got crazy dudes who do both. You know, that's their thing. So in that goal of being somebody, you know, the way you become somebody in the community is by standing up and being a trooper, a soldier. Right? But everybody wants you to know who they are. They want to be revered. They want, a lot of it is because they don't want to keep getting into shit. So they want their reputation to carry so they don't have to do anything stupid no more. And sure. I think that's where platforms like No Jumper and Vlad come in, to where people finally feel like somebody else is listening, because that type of poverty is hella isolating. You know what I mean? It's a serious isolation. You don't know shit 3 miles away from you, because the world of Watts felt so big to most of my homeboys. Like, they never would have went outside, or Compton. They never went outside these places because poverty does not allow a freedom to travel about the cabin mentally. You know what I mean? It's still only $1.30 at that time to ride a bus and get a couple transfers and go anywhere you want, but you wouldn't believe this existed because you were told people didn't want you other places. You know, you didn't want to go somewhere without money, not knowing the value of seeing other things and what it could do to your mind. You know, it's a cage. Poverty fucking cage, Pete. And this is like all the times we be talking over three or four seasons. And I've been trying to get you to see it, because it's so hard to imagine what it feels like, or to listen to your friends talk about it. And it almost seems defeating, like, where it's like, wait a minute, it can't be that bad. Yeah, because it's that bad. So when they have an opportunity to garner some sense of fame, which that's normal for more humans than not, for people to know who they are, know their story. And somebody saying, hey, we want you to come on a platform and express who you are and what you've been through. It's like a fucking therapist. You know what I mean? That people are going to hear your story and see value in you. And it's like a fucking therapist. Except somewhere along the line, motherfuckers forget they are talking to tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. So they preaching and talking to this nigga, right, to Adam or to any of his guest hosts, like they're talking to a therapist, not realizing, and as silly as it sounds, not realizing this shit is going to be heard by hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people.
Sure.
But that's the mind state that bred the culture. You know, it has to come with some other type of traumas where there's not a true understanding of what's happening here.
Yeah, well, that kind of brings, because like when we were talking, I was thinking, well, yeah, the reason I wouldn't call those guys, at least Adam, culture vultures, because there's value being gained by the people who come on the show. Granted, he gets more in the aggregate, but to suggest that would be to suggest that he's manipulating and exploiting these people that are pretty savvy people. You know, like you gotta say, like, to say he's exploiting somebody, you gotta say that person got exploited. There's no way around it.
I guess that's the real question. Is he exploiting the culture? What's the definition? Let me see. What's the definition of exploit?
The question is like,
I say something ignorant.
If he's exploiting the culture, he's doing so via the audience, not via the guest. And that
make
might
full
be true.
Use of and derive benefit from a resource.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that sounds like it.
Yeah, there's always a negative connotation around that stuff. No.
That's the standard definition. But to exploit someone, to use someone or something unfairly for your own advantage. Unfairly is the word.
Yeah.
Is he using street urban culture unfairly?
I don't know if he's using street urban culture unfairly. One thing that I'll say is a fair question, at least to me, is, and like, I'm kind of a micro advocate of the disproportional representation of poor Black people as criminals. So to continue to always amplify people from a certain area as being entrenched in crime in such a carte blanche fashion, I feel like does a disservice to the majority population of those areas that are not involved. So I think that there might be something to that, but I'm always kind of keen on that anyway. So I'm a little biased maybe in that regard.
Sure.
But I don't know. To me, it's hard to say. I mean, I think it would be more so on the audience side than on necessarily who comes on the show's side.
So you know what? I guess that's the question we really need to ask ourselves. Is Adam 22 or DJ Vlad using street urban culture unfairly? That's the real question.
Good looking out for tuning in to the No Ceilings Podcast. Please do us a favor and subscribe, rate, comment, and share. This episode was recorded right here on the west coast of the USA and produced by the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Yeah.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.